Queen City Chamber Opera's next production isn't an opera at all. It's Handel's oratorio, Israel and Egypt. And artistic director Isaac Selya is here to fill us in. Welcome back, Isaac.
Thank you, Anne. Thanks for having me here.
Well, why an oratorio after a successful run of operas?
Well, oratorio is a funny animal. It has a very interesting relationship to opera. I think Handel, of all people, understood that. He was a very shrewd businessman. And when he was making his career in London, he realized that there was a new audience that was not being tapped during certain parts of the year, that certain people who considered opera a little bit too scandalous were reluctant to come see some of the stuff he was putting on stage. So he thought, okay, I'll present something that has a little bit more of a religious content and has a different kind of experience and attract a new audience.
And how many of those oratorios did he write? I mean, everybody, I think, is familiar with Messiah, of course, but there's so much more than that.
Probably too many, tell the truth. Handel was very good at copy and pasting. So he would take an old score that maybe hadn't done so well and take the parts he thought were best and combine them with a little bit something new and put a new name on it. So Messiah is definitely his most famous oratorio. And just a few years before Messiah, which was 1741, he was still figuring out how to use the genre. And he wrote Israel and Egypt, which I think is a tremendous piece and is really underperformed. It tells the biblical story of the Exodus, of the Israelites being enslaved in Egypt and then coming forth out of Egypt. I actually encountered the piece for the first time when I was pretty young, growing up in Amberley Village, which has a very large Jewish community. My parents are amateur musicians, and they introduced me to Israel and Egypt one Passover. They said, hey, you want to hear a really cool piece that depicts all the plagues that we've been talking about and the splitting of the sea? And the music is absolutely incredible tone painting. So when Moses brings the plague of frogs on the Egyptians, the strings have this rhythm, which really depicts the little frogs jumping around. And the plague of hail is very similarly depicted, where it starts with just a single note going boom. Then another one chimes in, beep, beep. And it starts like that, and all of a sudden there's a hailstorm out of nowhere.
So it's very percussive.
Yeah, there's a big timpani part. It's got trombones who have to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
And are there any parts that are your favorite segments? This starts, I suppose, with the Israelites, as you say, being enslaved and Moses being called and then him confronting Pharaoh. Is there a dramatic scene for that?
Not really. This is actually a very, very interesting version of the piece that we're doing. So Handel wrote this in 1739, and for most of the history of the piece, it was done in kind of a heavily cut and edited version where it actually doesn't have the entire first third of the piece. So as a result of the brilliant editors and musicologists over at Baron Reiter, they found all the original manuscripts and published a version in 1999, which has the entire piece, which starts actually with the death of Joseph and the Israelites mourning Joseph and what a great leader he was. And then a new pharaoh comes over Egypt and enslaves the Israelites. So I think when most people have a concept of this piece, it's some people have heard it before. They're used to it starting with the plagues, but there's actually an entire first part that this will be the Midwestern premiere of.
So that's pretty exciting. But I think it's also true to say that with Messiah, the first part, the Christmas part, is usually the one that's most performed. And then they tack on the Hallelujah chorus at
exactly.
the end just to make everybody happy.
Exactly. It's a similar kind of situation, that the work is actually a little bit longer and maybe it's better known in different versions. But in both cases, there's tremendous music, which is very rarely heard.
Well, there are no sets and there are no costumes, but there's plenty of drama and the chorus plays a big role. So tell us about your performers.
So the chorus that we're using is 16 singers. So it's kind of a chamber choir style. So each of them is going to have almost soloistic responsibilities. They're almost entirely drawn from recent graduates from CCM.
Who are some of the major soloistic roles? Obviously Moses.
Well, you would think, but there are actually no named roles in this. It's entirely just chorus, and then there are some solos where they're not actually depicting a character so much as just reciting the text. There are some tenor recitatives where they say some of Moses' words, but for the most part, there's no one actually depicting a character. It's just telling the story.
Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really an interesting work.
So back to my question of a favorite segment, is there something that really resonates for you?
There's one transition in the piece, which when I remember when I heard it the first time when I was like 10 years old, absolutely blew me away. And it's the transition from the Plague of Darkness, which is very slow and very lugubrious and very thick. And it ends with the silence. And then the next plague, for those of you who listening who remember the story, is the death of the firstborn. And that starts with this forte strike staccato from the whole orchestra. So you come off of this very, very quiet boom, boom. And then all of a sudden there's just this like death blow, like bum, bum. And throughout the entire fugue, which is the death of the firstborn is a very complicated fugue, there's this like very percussive beat in the strings and the harpsichord on every beat, giving like this sharp attack. And the first time I heard that coming out of nowhere, it was absolutely terrifying. So that's definitely my favorite spot in the whole piece.
It's a death knell.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, you're also making a change of venue here. Your home is at the Dunham Arts Center, but you're going across town.
We're going to the Meyerson Jewish Community Center up on Ridge Road. Ever since I moved back to Cincinnati about 5 years ago, this is a project that I've been thinking about just because I grew up in the Cincinnati Jewish community, and this is a piece I've always wanted to do on Passover. And about a year ago, I got in touch with the Jewish Community Center, and we started talking about potential ways to collaborate. And this emerged as a really, really great project that we could do up there. And this will not only be a performance of this oratorio, they're presenting an entire series on the Exodus as portrayed through art. So when the audience arrives, there will actually be an installation piece done by local artist Deborah Broad that depicts the Exodus through physical medium, and that'll be in residence for an entire month. So people who come to either or both performances can see that, and then you can also check that out afterwards.
And you're going to be doing an audience talk, I believe, on one of the nights of the performances.
Yeah. The demo lecture is right before the Sunday performance.
Do you like being in a bigger venue? What kind of challenges does that present for you? It's clearly much bigger.
So it's bigger, which means there are more seats to fill. But at the same time, we have more partners who are drawing upon a larger audience. Based on how tickets have been selling so far, I think we're gonna pack the house because it's a really exciting piece. The acoustics are gonna be a new challenge. Every space is something new, for better or for worse. And just based on the few minutes I've been in there, it seems like it has great potential for sounding really good. It doesn't quite have the same kind of boom as we're used to in the Art Center at Dunham, but that could be a good thing. It could be kind of easier to smooth out the sound.
Does it surprise you that there's so many members of the Jewish community who don't know about this oratorio, who've never heard it? Is it just because Messiah tends to overwhelm everything?
Well, yeah, Messiah does tend to overwhelm everything. Also, I think when people think about Handel and his overall work, especially because of his work with librettist Jennings, people might assume that he had I wouldn't say an anti-Semitic point of view, but that he had a very Christianity-centered point of view. Based on what I found, I don't think that's entirely the case. I think he was a little bit more open-minded, and he was much more willing to write for different audiences. He didn't necessarily have a point of view that he was trying to advance.
Well, and especially when you think that most of his oratorios deal with Old Testament characters.
Exactly, yeah.
And probably his next most famous oratorio is Judas Maccabeus.
Exactly. That could be a project for a Hanukkah in the future.
Well, it's always great to talk to you, and thank you so much for joining me. Isaac Celia is the artistic director of Queen City Chamber Opera. The company is presenting Handel's Israel in Egypt at the Meyerson Jewish Community Center in Amberley Village on Thursday, April 14th and Sunday, April 17th. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein.